The Arthropod. The Arthropod is the home for the wonderful, weird, wacky world of insects. Hosted by Jonathan Larson, Jody Green, and Michael Scavarla.
Welcome back to Arthropod, your entomology podcast. I am one of your two hosts for this introduction here today, Jonathan Larson of the University of Kentucky.
I am your second host. I am Jody Green from the University of Nebraska-Lincoln, but I am at the University of Kentucky this moment.
Yes. So Jody has been speaking at the Pest Control Short Course here in Lexington, Kentucky. We are physically in the same space. We are recording with the cool recording equipment. You will notice a distinct upgrade in the sound quality, perhaps, if you're listening to this episode. Jody gave an excellent talk yesterday on mites, and mites by the view of a pest control operator, right?
Correct.
And how did you feel about it?
Well, my talk was at 4:15 to 5:15 after a really long day, so I was actually really tired, but it was such a good program that I couldn't take a break and go take a nap in the hotel. I wanted to watch all the talks. Mites are a mighty challenge because they are very small and require big picture thinking for solutions, and that's pretty much the sum up. But you, Dr. Larson, gave a good talk today.
Thank you.
The title was a little weird. You got pesticide on my bee.
You got chocolate in my peanut butter.
Tell us about your talk.
So Dr. DeVries, Zach DeVries, who runs the UK Pest Control Short Course, I basically tell him every year, he asks if I'd be interested in speaking again for him. And I say, I am at your disposal, whatever time slot, whatever topic, you just tell me what you need and I'll make it happen. In the last 2 years, he's put me last. So I've been the last speaker this year and last year. It's gone pretty well. They've told me both times that usually people leave before the last talk, but I've been able to kind of arrest them, luckily. Last year, I talked about invasive species, and then this year, he wanted me to talk about how to preserve bees, which is kind of an interesting topic for a pest control short course, I think.
So you're like the bow. Like, put a bow on it, call it a good conference?
I think I'm just like the guy that he knows will do whatever he says.
Has it – like, have you ever not been able to, like – has it ever been difficult? Like, I think he's just trying to challenge you. Like, he can come up with any title, and you'd be like, this is what I came up with. And he'd be like, that's great.
I would like that if it was sort of like a running thing where he was trying to one-up himself every year and see what he could make me do. The first one that he ever asked me to do is the toughest one, actually. I find urban pest control courses like this or conferences, I'm always very nervous. I don't come from that world. I'm a horticultural entomologist. It's a whole other ball game when you're talking about buildings and foundations and termites and all that stuff. And I get a little nervous because I come at it from such a different angle and different types of pesticides, different active ingredients. The first time he asked me to do it, he asked me to do when landscape pests get inside, which I think is kind of a interesting topic, but it was also kind of tough because they already knew all of them, right?
So fall invaders overwintering.
Fall invaders, or even just like weirdo random things like the millipede that gets in your garage. Or
the tens of thousands of millipede.
Yeah, yeah, okay. Yeah. But I guess I'm always afraid I'm coming at it as such a newbie, whereas these people, they're experts. Like, they're the PCOs, they know their field, they know their stuff. I don't want to be the person that came from the ivory tower and talk down to them. Do you know what I mean?
I don't think you ever come across like that.
Well, good. That's good to know. You don't either. You are from that world, though.
Yeah, so I'm from that world, and I understand that a lot of it has to do with making the sale, and that's their business. So,
right.
Like, my business is educating. Their business is actually performing a service. So a lot of times it's just trying to, like, hype them up that they're doing an important service, but also it doesn't always necessarily have to do with insecticide spraying.
Right.
And a lot of it's communication. So I get a lot of requests for, like, how to deal with difficult customers.
Yes.
How to communicate, which is a little bit funny because I know what the appropriate thing to do is, but I'm not the best talking to my own clients sometimes.
Okay.
Which is why I have master gardeners. They're the ones that give the word hugs.
That's right. The word hugs. I do like that about those conferences, though. There is a lot of, like, soft skills, I think some people would call it, where, like, how to talk to people, how to manage your employees, because it can be tough to get people to do that job. you're crawling in weird places, you're doing weird stuff. So managing your employees is important. I used to love when we did the Nebraska one. And then I was very excited that you were on this one. This is the first time I've seen you in action for a little while.
And I was not going to travel at all this year for conferences. But when Zach asked me, I had never been on the Kentucky Short Course, and it has always been a secret dream of mine. So now, check.
Yep. How many more do you have left to do? Like 47 other states? Or?
Oh, I don't know. I haven't even thought about it that way.
Yeah, I think you should sit down and think about that. Mm-hmm. You got to get on the Alaska one, New Hampshire. I don't know
why
those
are. Do you have a list?
I don't have a list like that for pest control courses, no. But
what about like online ones, like webinars and stuff? Do you count that?
I have one for counties in Kentucky. I keep track of all the counties I've been to here. I'd like to have all of them checked off before I go up for tenure. But we have 120 counties here. That's a lot.
Yikes. Yeah, that's a lot.
And they're a lot smaller than like Cherry County where you live in Nebraska.
I'm going to send Zach like a list of like 20 titles for next year. Just random ones.
To see if he can get me to do them?
Yeah, yeah.
Like pests of gummy bears or something weird.
I don't know.
I'm up for a challenge. I like it.
I would like to see that.
We're talking about urban pest control in the short course today, but we're also going to use this kind of as our topic. This is kind of a good lead in. You've recently been tabbed by the global media. Podcast superstar Jody Green appearing in Germany, Canada. Were you in Canada?
Well, evidently is it Deutsche Welle television is like an international whatever. And it went immediately on YouTube like it was live.
Oh, okay.
TV. And I don't know how many views there are now, but as of like last week, there was like almost a million.
Nice.
And I had to report that too.
Sure.
I don't know.
That's a success story.
Somebody, one of our office staff meetings or something like that.
What did they have you on to talk about?
France's bedbug problem, of course. What is Paris going to do? Wow, I hope they figure out their problem.
Right. Like
basically, that was the attitude that they had. But in this community, like the urban entomology and pest management, there's a lot of people that we know in this industry that were reported or recorded and interviewed talking about it. And actually, Dr. Zach DeVries, your colleague, one of the best quotes that he had in one of the articles was, "Everyone can get bed bugs, but not everyone can afford to treat."
Ooh.
Basically, yeah. And I wrote him. Yeah. I sent him an email. I was like, love it. This is the best quote ever. Like, it ended the article. And I think that's kind of what I had in my heart and soul. And like, that was what I was also trying to relay, that however you feel about the French or France or Paris, that everyone can get bed bugs. They don't discriminate.
Yes. Van down by the river. They'll live in there. Nicest hotel in town. Billionaire's house.
Castle.
Anybody can get them. Castle. Maybe you'll see the Kentucky castle before you leave the state. We have a very fancy castle out on the highway. Well, so let's frame this up a little bit and talk about the Parisian bed bug situation. So what have people been saying? And what is happening there? What are people reporting? And then, like, what are people claiming is going on? Maybe that's the place to start.
What do you think of when you think of Paris? Like, have you been to Paris?
Oh, yes. Once upon a time, I've been to Paris.
You were? Paris.
Me and Mike went to Paris on our honeymoon. No, I'm just kidding. Mike and I were a part of a study abroad group when we were undergrads at Purdue. We were looking at organic agriculture in Europe. And we got to go to France and Italy. And as part of the France leg of our journey, we went to Paris for, I want to say, 2 or 3 days. Beautiful place, of course. Very famous for all of its architecture and sights to see. I could do nothing but eat bread there just all the time. Oh. They make delicious bread and coffee. The people weren't happy to see us necessarily. This was like Iraq war times and we were American college students. Mm-hmm. So we weren't exactly the most popular people. But I understood, you know, and we tried to keep down and be as inconspicuous as possible. But a beautiful place. I think of religion. I think of art. I think of the Louvre, you know.
Fashion.
It's just a very happening place. And
the Eiffel Tower.
Yeah.
Romantic. I've never been. So this is like, yeah, it's like the ideas that I have of Paris.
Starlit, glasses of wine.
The movies, like, isn't it like Emily in Paris?
Right. Or people are smoking cigarettes.
Oui, oui.
Yes. I'll let you do all the French in this since you're Canadian.
I only know French Canadian, which is not un petit? Paris, France. Un petit peu.
What do you think of? So you said kind of romance, wonder.
Actually, I think of Ratatouille.
Oh, that's a good one. Yeah, yeah. Of course.
I love
Remy running around.
Yes.
Yeah.
Anyone can cook except for Jody Green.
You've cooked things. I've seen you whip up a Pop-Tart.
Oh. Don't mention those. I tried to wean myself off of those. Yes. Paris sounds like a dreamy place to be.
Yeah, right? Kind of magical.
Right. Everybody wants to.
But not right now.
Yes. So right now, well, it was actually the height, I feel like, was in the beginning of October.
Right.
It was Paris Fashion Week. What happened was that somebody, I don't know what the situation was, and I actually wasn't following too much. Do you do a lot of social media following?
I mean, I like to look up bug things on Facebook and other places. I haven't logged back into X in a while. I feel a little good about that decision. But I do like to follow. I look at Google News headlines a lot, Apple News headlines to see what people are saying. And yeah, all of a sudden, my phone was recommending me all these stories about the bedbug apocalypse in France. And I guess we'll probably dive into more of this. But my gut reaction at first was like, this seems not fake,
yeah,
but greatly over-exaggerated.
Like, big deal.
Yeah.
Like, what is happening?
So, right.
Like, when someone says, like, what's going on with Paris and their bedbugs? I want to be like, well, there's someone saw some bedbugs, probably on the metro or public transit, and just posted it all over
right.
on social media, and then it just kind of spread that way, kind of like bedbugs. But I don't think that this just happened overnight.
Sure.
But they act like it.
Right.
And they act like they're the only ones who have bedbugs, even though it's not France that's actually acting like it.
Right.
Right? There's no doubt that there's bedbugs there. But we also, like, it's what we see on the media sites.
Right.
Like, the friends that I had that just came, that I have, that just came back from 2-3 weeks in Paris, they said they didn't even know that was going on.
Nice.
Yes.
So, not a news item there, perhaps.
Yes.
So, timeline-wise, we're talking the start of October. It's starting to trickle out. We're hearing all of these reports. When did you start to get your media requests about it?
It was the beginning of October. So, I think I wrote down... I had to look up when Paris Fashion Week is because that's not something I keep up with. If you know me, I'm not very fashionable. So Paris Fashion Week was September 25th to Tuesday, October 3rd. And October 3rd was actually, I think, when I had that interview.
Okay, okay.
So it was right at the end. So there were a lot of people in Paris looking at fashion, style, whatever. And then they would come across bedbugs. And then just like any viral video, these were going around because it was – a big deal. That was kind of the news. And then, you know, thinking forward, Paris is going to host the Summer Olympics. Right. So this is just terrible timing. This is going to be terrible. Paris is going to spread bedbugs around the world, which bedbugs are already spread worldwide.
Right. This is a cosmopolitan issue, not isolated to France, not isolated to Paris. I was trying to think of reasons why I believe this was probably getting copied and being talked about in so many places. And I guess the thing I settled on is it's a real interesting juxtaposition, right? To put bedbugs next to Parisian Fashion Week. You've got like this really rich, well-to-do event. And then you have an insect that many people consider to be dingy, a representation of a lower class person. And it's sort of all put together into this melting pot in Paris at the same time. Do you think that had maybe any impact on why people wanted to talk about this? Or is it just the blood-feeding ectoparasites are
no,
cool
I,
to talk about?
No, I think
about?
It absolutely has to do with selling stories and just like that. People are appalled.
Like, ooh, I like that
people
word.
People are appalled that right. this could be happening in such a city as theirs.
Right.
You know, because that's the dreamy place that everyone wants to go. So romantic.
Right. So how can you lose blood while you're there? That's awful.
Right. And I guess... for us, I mean, as an urban entomologist who has been talking about bedbugs since I was in grad school, and it is still one of the number one things that people ask me to talk about. So it's not new to me, and it's not new to any – I mean, just at the short course the last 3 days, there was a couple research talks today about bedbugs from some of the students, which were great. And then Dr. DeRees gave a really good bedbug talk yesterday, and – I think the stats are like 99% of all people in pest management have dealt with bedbugs. I mean, I'm in Nebraska. People don't think of it as a booming city.
A dreamy, romantic place.
And I also...
Emily in Omaha is not a movie.
Right. And I am accountable to the urban area of Omaha. So like almost like a million people.
Yep.
But we also serve a lot of the rural areas. So like small little places, they will also have hospitals. They'll also have schools and churches and movie theaters. Actually, about 2 weeks before Paris Fashion Week, I was saying to my colleague, bedbugs are taking over. They're going to be in every household within like the next 2 years. And she's like, why do you think that? And I said, because just in the last like 2 days, I've had 5 calls about bedbugs, and they were in places that are very, I would say like high spreadability. I don't know. What's the word, right? Like
it's high
not
traffic.
Just like, it's me, I'm a hermit, right. And I'm, you know, I don't go anywhere, but I have bedbugs. It was like one was at a hospital. One was like a person that uses day services.
Okay.
And so they go in a van with a bunch of other people and they go from place to place, like food pantries or libraries. Ooh. Or, you know, and then that person also lives with someone who works in a hospital and who has siblings who go to 2 different schools. So like that household, if that's where the bedbugs are and they're moving them around, it doesn't matter how big of a city it is, but bedbugs are going to have the potential to move around to places because people move bedbugs.
Yeah. Bedbugs have wing pads. We know they used to fly. Think of a horrific world in which bedbugs are still buzzing through the air, but now they don't need it because we are their transport. We are the bedbug Uber that moves them through the world. As you were talking, a lot of the places that you were listing and the people that you were talking about, to me, represent the people that deal with bedbugs frequently that we speak to. I remember when I was in Nebraska, it was always schools and hospitals, people with them in vehicles, traveling nurses I spoke to frequently about this issue. But there was never a lot of traction media-wise regarding these insects. And it only ever popped up if they showed up somewhere kind of odd. Or somewhere kind of ritzy when people would start to discuss these things. And I feel like that's what we're seeing here. Would you agree that there's a bit of classism going on with some of this?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
I mean, nobody is asking how we can help people that have been suffering with bedbugs in their homes, low-income housing for years and years.
Right.
But gosh, I hope Paris can figure this out before. Right.
Or the Olympics.
Right.
The Olympic
right.
athletes don't get them. Or Fashion Week. We got to save these people. It reminded me a little bit of the submarine thing over the summer, where those rich folks were trapped in a submarine or they'd been crushed in the submarine. But there's all kinds of people that are lost at sea, people escaping wars, refugees and stuff. That doesn't always get talked. I mean, it does get talked about, but not as thoroughly as the search for this one guy and his submarine.
Right. Like somehow they deserve it more to be saved.
There's like a weird thread of that. Yeah. And the same happens with bedbugs. You know, I imagine if Warren Buffett in Omaha got bedbugs, I mean, that would be a big news ticket for you to have to talk about. Like people would want to know how this could have happened to him. What is it that people think about with bedbugs? Like, why do they believe that that's an unnatural phenomenon?
On a side note.
Yeah.
Did you know I used a service?
You've told me that story. Yes.
So I don't think that would ever get out unless he leaked it.
Oh,
because
right.
The thing is, like, a lot of this has to do with stigma
right.
and being really secretive. I mean, even in the last few years that we did the Bedbug Roadshow, it started off like no one ever wanted to talk to us about bedbugs. They would just like run away. And then the last couple of years that I did the Bedbug Roadshow, people would come up to me and they'd be like, oh yeah, I've dealt with these.
Right.
They're a pain. Or like, yeah, I had bedbugs. Or yeah, my sister had bedbugs. Like they were more open to it. I don't know if they have like stats on how many households wherever we live have bedbugs, if there's ever been that kind of reporting. Most people don't want to talk about it.
Right.
And I've had so many private or DMs or whatever in all of my social media channels talking to me about bedbugs, but it's not going to be out
right.
there, right?
Quietly.
So like, yeah, there's not going to be like, hey, I have bedbugs. How do I deal with it? So it's probably happening more than reported
right.
to people you know.
Right.
So what was your question?
Sort of why is it that people are quiet about this? Why do people not want to publicize the fact that they have bed bugs or have had them?
Well, a lot of times bugs are associated with filth and nobody wants to have that. And I think there's just like a misconception on like where they are. A lot of times people think that they're on people's bodies and that they're dirty and that's why they have them.
That they'll travel with you like a louse. They're hooked to your hairs on your skin. Shake hands with somebody and they'll crawl over. Is that the fear?
Or that they spread disease or they're just, so that they're just dirty.
So bed bugs are gross. We don't talk about them in polite company. That kind of thing.
Right. Just be like, hey, how are you? Hive, bed bugs.
Don't come, come over. Don't come over. We were going to have a movie party, watch The Fly, but we're going to have to cancel.
Right.
So you were talking about you wish there were some statistics for people that you deal with. Have they been throwing around some interesting statistics for France?
Yeah. So I didn't look really into the French like health and safety agency.
Okay.
But there was like some kind of stat that said like from 2017 to 2022, more than 1 in 10 households in France report a bed bug infestation.
One out of 10.
Well, it said more than 1 out of 10.
Okay, that's very vague.
Right. And so like
there's a lot of numbers that are more than one.
Right. And the thing is, like, if you went into, let's just say, like at Rutgers, they do a lot of like public housing and they do a lot of their research there and they do help a lot of communities that are low income try and battle bed bugs. Let's just say we took like one of those and called each unit a household.
Yeah.
So it really depends on what they're measuring, I guess.
That's why they say there's lies, damned lies, and statistics, right?
So I don't know what that means. Like, does that mean that's a lot?
Right.
Like, in comparison to what?
And you would maybe think you would see similar things here. Like, if we were actually going to keep track of this.
Right. So, like, if I went on my street and picked 10 houses and then asked all my neighbors to truthfully answer if they've ever dealt with bed bugs.
More than one would probably.
I feel like that would happen.
Yeah. Statistically, it's likely.
Right.
And this is also statistically seemingly almost meaningless, to us at least. I'm having a hard time with that statement. I don't know what that means. It seems to paint a broad brush of saying like, oh yeah, they're everywhere. If you don't go to Paris, you're going to get bed bugs.
Right. Oh, and so if someone were to call you and say, I have a trip booked to Paris, like, should I cancel it?
I would say no. How about you?
I have been asked that and I said no. And I just gave him some tips on how to travel and be assured that you're not bringing home any bed bugs.
I want to return to that here in a little bit. Let's put a pin in that idea about traveling and picking up bed bugs. Let's talk more about France. Like, so they're saying over one house in 10 has bed bugs. What are some other things that you've seen pop up? Things that are pointing fingers at the French, things that are making Paris and France look bad.
Well, I've seen some videos of piles of mattresses on the street, people walking by. And then I've also seen that schools were closed.
Interesting.
It's like the Ministry of Education. I don't know much about them, but they wanted to close the institutions to have them cleaned. So,
of bed bugs?
Evidently, there were like 17 institutions that were affected and 7 that had to close.
17 institutions, aka schools, in all of Paris or all of France? I mean, I guess that's a high number.
So honestly, like when I would see stuff, I didn't spend a lot of time reading it because I was like, I just took it with a grain of salt because I'm like, you know, depends what kind of channels you're watching. Like, are they just targeting me because I'm an entomologist and I like all this bug stuff? So they keep sending me stuff. And I was like, I'm not going to read all this stuff because we have bed bugs too. Like, not that it's not a big deal. It's just, I don't know why we're concentrating so much on Paris's bed bug problems.
I guess that's another question. Another way we could tackle this is you seem very nonplussed by this whole thing. And I felt very similarly. I was like, that doesn't surprise me. I don't know why we're acting like this is a discovery. They've probably been there for a while. So could you expound on that and say, like, you said it didn't happen overnight. What does that mean?
Well, because we know a lot about bed bugs, We just know that some of those pictures, I don't know if I can confirm, like, if these are from this time or someone else posting something. I do have a TikTok channel that I've sometimes post to.
At Jody Bugsley.
And I've posted things about bed bugs in the past. I think they got like 5 views. Like, there's nothing, you know? And I probably could have jumped on the Paris bed bug bandwagon and reposted or posted different music or, I don't know, something French, whatever, to get more views. But like, that's just not like me to do that. But everyone else seemed to like jump on that bandwagon and post something. I feel like I've been talking and educating about bed bugs forever.
Because you kind of have.
I have. And so that's why I'm like, it's not like a mad thing. I'm just like, just having to hear like people that I, whether I know them or not, just go on about the myths about bed bugs, I guess.
Okay.
Just like, now I got to start all over again.
I think it's okay to feel mad about that because you have been working hard at this for a long time. You've helped however many thousands of people in Nebraska if they're worried about bed bugs and want to know about them or have them diagnosed. And then it is like people are acting like this is a brand new thing. Like, bed bugs have just popped out of the woodwork all of a sudden. When we've kind of done this song and dance for what, 10, 20, 15 years we've had to talk about bed bugs?
Yeah. So my first talk was like in 2005.
Okay. That was when the resurgence began here in North America?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I went to a house in Indiana and they had bed bugs.
And so to pretend like this is completely out of the blue, does that feed into the it didn't happen overnight thing you mentioned? Like, these people in Paris have probably been dealing with bed bugs for a while, not getting help. Is that what you think is more representative?
Well, maybe they didn't know. Maybe they were playing, they didn't know. I'm not really sure, but I think it's easier here or in other places other than France to blame it on someone else. Like, that's not really our problem. But now if it does become our problem, we have someone to blame because people don't want to say like, oh, I traveled and I brought this home. Like, I think with bed bugs, it's usually like whoever has to pay or whoever, you know, deals with it, it's whoever's fault it is. It's usually we like to blame somebody. And with bed bugs, it's really hard to do that.
Who are you going to call?
So right now I'm going to play a compilation of various audio clips from various TikTok accounts from searching bed bugs Paris.
I visited Paris and found bed bugs. Not sure what to do. Researching. Sleeping in the living room.
We'll take it from here.
You know how there's an infestation of bed bugs in Paris? And I was just in Paris. They're in the metro. They're in the airports. They're at the hotels. They're at the Airbnbs. They're everywhere. And the mayor of Paris, I think, or something like that, said no one is safe.
Had to leave the Airbnb that's infested with bed bugs.
Bed covers often see.
Oh my god.
You can see them from the naked eye, apparently.
We think we found a bed bug.
Paris right now is being destroyed by bed bugs, but most of you have never experienced what it's like to sleep with the bed bugs. Well, let me share my experience.
The worst case scenario just happened. I just stayed at a place infested with bed bugs.
I have about 20 bites on one foot. They've appeared out of nowhere. At the moment, I don't see any on the rest of my body, although I do feel I am now getting that psychosomatic thing where everything itches. Please say it ain't so, it ain't. Parisian bed bugs. He said, wee wee! Tell me they didn't see the Eiffel Tower and now they've come to have a look at the Hollywood sign.
Check your hotels, folks. Bed bugs will bite.
Before we continue with the rest of the show, I just want to credit some of the TikTok accounts at Jimmy Travels World, at Alyssa Anna, at Louise Fowl Edgar, at Christian.Grossi, at Brandon J. Newman 1, and at Madeline underscore White.
So we've been talking about the panic, sort of the myths, the fear-mongering that is surrounding this. Let's spend some time spitting some bedbug truth instead. So you work with bedbugs. I used to work more with bedbugs when I was in Nebraska. And I remember one of the big things that I would have to teach people is just what kind of insect they are. So they don't bite you like with mandibles and teeth. They're going to bite you with a piercing, sucking mouth part that they insert into your skin and then they draw blood out. They don't live in your body. They don't hold on to you like lice. It's a very different sort of beast than what a lot of people have in their head. What are some bedbug truths that you spend a lot of time hammering home with your clients and your students and people that you have to teach?
Yes. Well, bedbugs typically don't live on the body. They feed on the body because they require a blood meal to grow and develop and lay eggs. But generally, they are going to be hiding because they don't necessarily feed every day, usually 3 to 5 days. They eat enough in their feeding that they go and hide in a crack and crevice close to where the host sleeps, and they rest and they digest. So oftentimes, if you have bed bugs, you're not necessarily seeing them, especially in like a low infestation. If you have like, just say, one or two bed bugs. If you have one or two bed bugs, you're not necessarily going to see them. And sometimes you won't even react to them, which is something that nobody talks about as being one of the reasons for resurgence. And I think that it's a huge thing.
What is it, like 30% of people don't react to bed bug saliva, bed bug inflammation material?
And I've even heard even more than that.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Like, but I don't know if there is even a study for that, because you would have to find truly infested homes and then interview those people that live there.
More tricky statistics.
Right. So even people coming into the office where I am in Omaha, there's often couples that come in and one person is suffering from bed bugs and the other person's not. And then I have to ask if they actually live and sleep together. And then I tell them, like, you break the news to them, like, you both have bed bugs. It's just that one of you doesn't react. But let's just say you don't know that you have bed bugs because you don't react. There's not, you usually don't feel them. You can't feel them biting you. Sometimes you may feel them crawling around on you. Had that experience. But if you don't have any reaction, like you don't get a bump or a welt and you don't itch, then how would you ever know you have a bed bug?
You're the one person not complaining on your apartment floor or in your entire complex. You know, everybody else seems to have these, but you're not complaining about it.
Right. So I don't have bed bugs.
Right.
So you would check the box like, oh, I've never seen a bed bug. I don't have bed bugs. But that's not necessarily true. So if that was me and I didn't have a reaction and I didn't see a bed bug, when I would finally see a bed bug, that infestation would be so out of control. It would be a high population where I would actually see live bed bugs running around. And it's kind of like, I mean, I guess people could compare it to roaches. Like if you see a bunch of roaches during the day, pretty bad infestation because they're nocturnal.
Right.
So it's kind of like that. So if you're seeing bed bugs in like the corners of the room, in the ceiling, along the door jams and frames, then you have a pretty big bed bug problem because they're no longer around the bed and sleeping area. There's so many of them, they're moving away from the bed. So that makes it more likely that I have had bed bugs for a long time and can, you know, allow them to hitchhike with me in my belongings, on my coats and things like that. So that's why we say typically we don't have our bed bugs around on us. They just feed on us at night.
In that scenario, are they also able to move from this sort of bed bug harbor into other units in a multi-unit, multi-family kind of situation?
Yeah, they just like walk across the floor.
Walk across the hall. Do they go through the walls? Like, can they travel pipes?
They can. They definitely can do that. If you do live in an apartment and you look under your sink and you can see the pipe chases, like that's the time when bugs can walk through walls. And I mean, ceilings, ventilation systems, wall voids, all of those things. That's what is also important when you think about what kind of situation you're dealing with. So like multifamily housing is going to be a lot more challenging than single family housing because they're all essentially connected.
Right, right.
And then you bring in the social aspect of it where people are moving things in and out. You have common areas. You've got maybe a lobby or a front door. You've got elevators. You have stairwells, laundry rooms, all those places that you can pick things up and drop things off.
Right.
Right. So that makes it harder. And if you have bed bugs and you're like, oh, I got to throw this away. Wasn't that long ago, I feel like, that I was taking free stuff. Like, right. Oh, what? This is a free couch?
Wow, look at that nightstand.
Oh, I even have hand-me-down mattresses. So if you think about those kind of things and someone's throwing it away because of bed bugs, and then your neighbor brings it back.
Right. Inside. If you don't look at it and inspect it, right, you're taking home more than you bargained for.
So I definitely tell people not to pick up free used furniture.
Yes, that's good advice.
And even if it's not free and you paid for it, then you paid for bed bugs. And we get a lot of situations like that where people found things on Craigslist and brought it home and they thought like, oh, I didn't know what those black spots were. I just figured it was like mold or something and I cleaned it off. And then it turned out they were bed bugs.
Right. Let's talk. We've talked about how people don't react. Let's talk about the normal reaction to bed bug bites. You were sharing some sensational videos from TikTok. Maybe we can share some links unless you don't want to platform these people. But there was one in particular. It was a leg of a person who it looked like it had to have been a chemical burn. I mean, they were these huge bulbous blisters.
Fluid-filled
sacks all over their leg. So people are claiming a lot of things about bed bug bites, like what it's going to do to you. What's the reality that you've experienced as an extension educator?
Well, I also have to say that everybody has their own immune system, so everyone reacts differently. I don't want to say that you aren't allergic to this or that couldn't have happened. But on social media, people are looking for those clicks and likes and whatnot. And there's a lot of things on there that are not bed bugs or not bed bug bites. But typically, and I would say that I am pretty sensitive to bed bug bite. But I get welts, but they're not necessarily itchy. Today, I heard a couple of the people that were talking about bed bugs say that they get welts, and that's why they can't feed bed bugs anymore. Because as entomologists, sometimes we do that for fun. Sometimes we do that for research. I would say over time, those reactions could even change. So sometimes you can get bit by a bed bug, and it will be a delayed reaction. So you actually don't even know where you were bitten because it may show up a week later. And so if you were in a hotel a week ago and you were in a hotel that night, how do you actually know where you were bitten? Because I know how I react. I know when I've been bitten by a bed bug. I get these welts. It's usually on my neck or my feet. And they really swell up really large. They actually almost look like what I imagine like a bullseye rash looks like. So it's really red in the middle, and then there's kind of like these rings that go around it. So it's kind of weird.
How big is a big welt? Like, do you have a size? Golf ball, kiwi?
Maybe bigger than a golf ball.
Bigger than a golf ball.
Right.
So like a raised, inflamed area that's hardened on your skin.
Right, and this happens whether or not a bed bug actually took a blood meal. So even if it just like inserts its piercing, sucking mouth part and puts the saliva over there before it even starts to engorge with blood, like if I wipe it off, I will still get that welt.
That makes sense. I mean, that's what we're reacting to, right, is the saliva, is the stuff that they pump into us. So I'm sorry that you go through that. I do remember the last time that you got bed bug bites. I haven't been bitten by bed bugs, but I presume I would react pretty strongly. I react very strongly to all other bites. The welts that we saw on that TikTok video reminded me a little bit of my chigger bites that I get, where I get the like fluid-filled sacks. But I feel like that's a very different scenario. And mine are the size of a grain of rice or maybe a little bit bigger. Those were like...
Those actually even remind me of like poison ivy.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
So...
like a really strong skin-based reaction. So probably seeing some false things out there, some things that aren't real, some misinformation that's making its way through. People do react. You get an itchy, raised area, reddish tinge to the skin. That can change based on melanization, though. I've seen the most images are from Caucasian people, from white people, but there's still a red inflamed area no matter your skin tone. Is that fair to say?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, sometimes it itches, sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes it'll last longer than some other bites. Any type of lesion can become infected. So that's important. Right. If you are itching or doing something to it, picking at it, then those could always turn into infections. And it's not because a bed bug spreads disease or infection. So at this time, it hasn't been shown or supported that bed bugs can transmit diseases to humans. They can harbor a lot of, you know, pathogens inside their body, but they haven't been shown to transmit it to people. And in some cases, that seems like good, but then it's also bad in the sense that people are like, oh, well, It's just a nuisance pest. You'll be fine.
Right. It's hard sometimes to classify this as a medical pest because there isn't that disease vectoring. You're not going to get Chagas from a bed bug. You're not going to get Lyme disease from a bed bug. These things, they've done batteries of tests mm-hmm. to try and prove this.
But
there are medical issues, right? What were you going to say?
I was going to say, but tell me about why this is a public health pest.
I guess I see it as a scourge. We were throwing that word around when we were practicing earlier. It's something that can make people feel very crazy to have bed bugs. Something that I think we'll circle back around to is the difficulty of control for some people, the infeasibility, the inability to pay for control. So it feels like your sleep is being robbed from you. There's this vampire in the night that's coming to drink your blood, and it robs you of bedtime because you get very nervous about it. Even if you do get rid of them, I think there has been some data that's shown many people who've experienced bed bug infestations, they meet many of the markers that you would need to be diagnosed with a form of post-traumatic stress disorder. Is that right?
Yeah, definitely. I think after you talk to a client and you find out the reason they're so paranoid or anxious about any little like fleck of like a little grain of anything or a part of a bug or a tiny fly or beetle, it's as soon as they say, well, I've had bed bugs before, you kind of you understand what they've been through and you have to do extra amount of reassuring that that's not a bed bug. You haven't become reinfested. Everything's going to be okay. Keep practicing your prevention.
Right.
I stayed in a hotel for the last two nights and I don't sleep very well at all. And I know
because of vampires.
I know it's because it's not because of vampires, but I do think about bed bugs and I don't, when I'm going to sleep, I don't necessarily think about them, but I'll wake up in the middle of the night and I'll turn on a light and look for bed bugs because that's happened to me before. Like I've woken up in the middle of the night with bed bugs on my face. And even though I don't think about that before
you
I go to
bed. You just did a full body shiver thinking about
it. Yeah, because I'm an entomologist. I know better. And I would be able to treat my house. But I do not. Like, I practice so much prevention of being able to travel and not bring bed bugs home very confidently. But I still have this inability to have a good night's sleep, even though I have, like, this giant king-size bed to myself. I'm in, like,
fluffy,
Lexington, downtown. It's fluffy. It's clean. It's old. I got TV.
Right.
And I don't know.
It's a good time, but not because of the bed bugs.
Right. Like yeah. I can totally empathize and I see where people are coming from.
We've even seen them be precursors to delusory cases where people who have had bed bugs, they seem, I don't want to say predisposed to develop DP later, but it is a stressor and it involved bugs. So anything that perturbates their skin is going to lead them back to this situation that they had before. So we're not trying to downplay this. There are videos that we were looking at online earlier that show some factual information that spin some truth about how stressful this can be. We're not trying to say there's no problem, but it isn't going to cause your leg to fall off. It's not going to spread disease. It's really more about the pain and suffering and the anguish that you're going to endure trying to get rid of this and dealing with the loss of sleep. So there is some problems associated with this, mm-hmm. but it's still hard to classify, I guess, like at a federal level or in a pest categorical level because of the lack of disease transmission.
How would you think a community could better deal with bed bugs?
When you say community, are we talking about an apartment complex? Are we talking about a city block? Are we talking about a town or a city?
Yes.
A neighborhood, all
yes.
of it?
Yes, like that question gets brought to me a lot. Well, it was mostly like, well, what can Paris do? But it's something that I do think about. I don't think that pest management professionals will ever be out of a job when it comes to bed bugs. I don't think they'll ever go away. But how can we manage them so that people aren't suffering so greatly for so long? Like, is there a way that we can actually help people? Because people come to us for money
right.
and they want money to treat their house. Whereas like if you knew 100% if you gave someone like $500 and they treated their house, they would never get bed bugs again. That'd be one thing. But a lot of times like our behaviors and our actions and the things we do on a daily basis, weekly basis, if we're not preventing bed bugs, then we're always going to be open to getting a reinfestation.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with everything you said. I mean, it starts with a little bit more transparency and honesty, right? We've built these into a very shameful thing, whereas it used to be, I think, it was less of a secret, not even an open secret. It was just a thing that people dealt with. The sleep tight, don't let the bed bugs bite. I mean, people knew about them. They knew to look for them. They knew to how to squish them and what to do with them. I think that we get so scared of talking about it that then it does become a plague or a scourge. It sort of sneaks around and gets into other people's homes from yours or from your friends, and nobody wants to admit to any of it. And you're right. It would be great if there was a bed bug assistance program in every major city, where in Omaha you could apply for $500 in federal money that would replace your mattress or pay for a bed bug treatment. Or what if these companies got together and they formed a fund where they could get paid full dollar for going to certain locations, but other places there was a pricing tier that was more affordable? I mean, that would be great. But how do you know that's going to last? Right.
See, I think that would probably have to partner up with some kind of education prevention. Yeah. Because not only would they have that treatment, and I think we have to also mention that, you know, when you said replacing your mattress, I would say the number one thing people want to do is throw away all their stuff.
Right, right.
Which is like, I do not recommend. We do not recommend throwing away your stuff.
How many people have called you mid-burn of their mattress? It's right. More
I
than
got rid of my mattress, but I still have bed bugs. So, yes, the mattress is part of the bed. Bed bugs are called bed bugs, but they live on more places or hide and colonize type thing on more places than just the bed alone. And when you're speaking of the bed, you're thinking of like the mattress, you're thinking of the bedding, the box spring, the legs, the curtains, the
bird
walls. The bed skirt, because nobody ever washes the bed skirt.
If you're Ebenezer Scrooge, the like canopy thing that goes over
curtains.
It.
Curtains.
Yeah.
Yeah. All of those things are the bed. And even like cracks in the wall, wallpaper. We've seen bed bugs in so many different things, like a clock, a picture. They don't care if it's a bed or not. They are just
easy chairs, couches, you know, anywhere that somebody's going to sit long enough that they can sneak a meal.
Yeah. Like
bed bug.
Just let's like picture yourself as a bed bug. You don't want to be seen. You need to win at hide and seek. And you need to sneak out and snack when you can. And you need a person. Like you are going to do whatever you can to not be found out. So you're going to come out and feed when they're sleeping, when they can't see you, if they can't feel you. And you're going to hide in a place that they're not going to wash, disturb, change. So think about those never been washed, never been vacuumed. Those places that you don't even want to look at to clean because it's so gross, that's where the bed bugs are going to be. In hotel rooms, those headboards are stuck to the wall.
They're glued directly on to help cut down on some of this.
Stuck there.
Yeah.
I've only seen one place that actually caulks around it so that there's no gap.
Oh, you were talking about when they hang it up on the wall.
Right.
Yeah. So there is space. Lots of space.
Yes. So those are the places where bed bugs are going to be more likely to hide. So if you were to throw away your mattress that probably costs, you know, a couple hundred dollars and you put a new mattress.
Mattresses can be expensive,
Mattresses are expensive. And that's why people pick up free ones from the street.
Yes.
But if you pick up a brand new mattress, it's going to cost money and you're going to put that on your bed and it's not going to stop the bed bugs. So you may think, oh, I still have bed bugs, because that's not going to help. So that is not one of the solutions.
Right. I don't know what a community-wide response would look like. I mean, there has to be some money behind it, as we were kind of alluding to, but it has to be partnered with education, which is where Extension can come in, even where the pest control operators themselves can come in. I mean, I know they teach a lot about this when they deal with people, and they are trying to help them to understand it.
And I don't know how this would work, but you're the first person I'm telling this to. So like community living places, maybe they could form a task force and we could train them, and they would be people that the other residents trust to go through and do regular inspections. If it were like a college dorm or like senior living, ones that are able to look around and, you know, just knowing that someone has got eyes on the place, if they don't have pest control, like, oh, we saw this, they would also be able to see if people are starting to hoard things or there's too much storage, too much clutter, because that's a huge factor in the success of bed bug treatment is like, what kind of construction it is, like single family, multifamily, or how much clutter or furniture is in that room. So like a task force, and also maybe a place that has accessible heaters, portable heaters. So like if there was like even a hotel or a summer camp or something that has a room that you can go into with your luggage after or before, and you can heat your things up so that you can be assured that you're, before you take that home, that you are not bringing bed bugs home. Like having something like that.
That'd be pretty awesome. Yeah. Like quickly nuke them before you leave. Or I remember talking to some people, they wanted to see something like a truck that would travel neighborhoods and you could just take stuff out and they would heat it up, give it back to you, like an ice cream truck in reverse for bed bugs almost.
So it's creepy in its own different way.
Right. Very creepy in its own way.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a very good question. I'd love to hear if any of the listeners have ideas about that. That seems like something that would be incredibly holistic. We'd have to stop thinking of it just in entomology terms, us. Then we'd have to have social workers and caseworkers that would stop thinking of it from their angle. And we'd all have to come together and come up with a plan that was trying to address everything. And you'd have to get buy-in from local, state, or federal officials to help prop it up, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But it would be a really uphill battle to change people's hearts and minds about what to say and when to say it and what not to say about bed bugs.
Right.
Which factors in to this whole Parisian situation. You asked me if I would tell people to not go to Paris, France anymore. We both said we would not tell them to cancel their trip. I think it's very funny that this conversation is focused on France, because you could go to Utica, New York, and you could get bed bugs. You could go out to San Jose, California, and you could get bed bugs. It isn't just Paris. I mean,
is it all major cities?
I would say that anyway, it doesn't have to be a major city. You go visit your aunt and uncle that live out in Cherry County, Nebraska on their private ranch. They could have bed bugs and you could pick it up from them and take it home. So travel, is that the main way that people get these? That's what I remember the two questions being. What is this insect? Oh, it's a bed bug. How could this happen to me? How did this get into my house? Is travel the number one way, in your opinion, that this happens? The original sort of discovery of bed bugs?
I don't know. I mean, I've heard all different kinds of stories. Maybe initially how it came in, but does it have to be like international travel or national travel? Not necessarily.
Could be just going to work.
I mean, I could just be like, I'm just going to go hang out in Council Bluffs overnight and gamble and stay in a hotel there and bring it back. Is that called traveling? You know, it's right across the river. I mean, I've also had parents call and they're like, yeah, I was sitting on my daughter's bed and a bed bug crawled out of her backpack.
Okay.
She was at her cousin's and I guess they have bed bugs, but they never told us.
So it's about entering a place that's infested, not necessarily where you're going. Well, how you get there, how far away it is. But people do worry about when they travel that they may acquire bed bugs at the airport, modes of transportation, and at the hotel. Can that happen? Do those places have bed bugs?
Yes.
And are those the places that they're going to get these problems from?
I mean, they can initially introduce or pick up a hitchhiker, but it doesn't mean that they're necessarily going to have an infestation. And that's why it's hard. I think, like, my husband's like, there's got to be a mathematical calculation to consider the risks of when you are at risk and going to get a bed bug infestation. I'm like, it all depends. And, you know, people hate that answer, but are you going to get a bed bug from like my bag over there? Probably less likely, because I did not put my bag on the bed. It was on a hard surface. I never put it on the floor. I always hang things up. I look through it. I make sure, like, okay, I'm leaving this situation now. Inspect for bed bugs. Like, it's not what people want to do. They're right. Like, it would be exhausting to be you. Yes, it is.
So those tips and tricks, they've popped up on TikTok and some of the videos that you were showing me before. Can you run through a list of those? What would you advise people to do when they walk into a hotel room?
So I think a lot of people want to inspect the hotel room. But if you don't know what you're looking for, And truthfully, do you really want to find anything? No. So you're not really looking. So of
you can
all,
also find things that aren't bed bugs.
Oh my gosh. I have found a lot of like nicotine and things between the mattress and box spring. I have found, I've seen a lot of hairs that I'm not fond of. I've seen like cookies, wafers.
I've seen some blood splotches that I didn't want to see.
Yes, yeah. So I would say less focus on inspecting when you get there. I mean, I do kind of do a glance around the room. I look for any dark spots, like, so those would be like digested blood from bed bug poop. You would look places that are not disturbed. And I tell my sister all the time, open the nightstand and look at the Bible. And she's like, why? I'm like, because that's always there and it never moves. And it's basically part of the bed. Nobody's going to clean it or take it downstairs. So I look at that, and I did that this time. But I spend a really limited amount of time doing that, because the three times that I was bitten at a hotel, I did an inspection. I never found anything. I'm like, just forget it. Just make sure I put my stuff that won't be as accessible to bed bugs. So like hard surfaces, bathroom, throw it in the bathtub. What do you do?
Let's talk about that angle a little bit more, because what you're saying is you didn't look because you might still get bitten, but you did take precautions to protect things that are going back home with you. Is that kind of what that angle is?
So like if you just have, just say this ball that I'm pretending to hold, that's how much time and energy you have. Where are you going to spend it? It's not going to be on the inspection when I just get there. I mean, if I walk in, there are bed bugs crawling around the room. Yeah, I'm out of there. There's not even any doubt in my mind. See you later. But if it's not, it looks fine, which usually they do. I'm just going to take precautions, and I'm going to use that ball of time and energy to protect my house, because I do not want bed bugs in my house. I know I have a job and I know a lot about bed bugs, but nobody wants to have a bed bug infestation at their house.
So you are trying to keep them from climbing aboard and coming home with you, putting it on a hard surface, keeping it in the bathroom area away from the bed. This all cuts down on their attraction to it, because they can smell your dirty clothes in there. It smells like a person, right? So they kind of want to climb on there. It's not that they know that if they get on that, they get to go to a new city. They get to leave Paris behind and go to Douglas County, Nebraska. It's not that. It's that it just, there's an attractant, and they want to get to that, and that could lead to them coming home with you. And I think that's really what people need to take away from this situation, isn't that if you go to Paris, you're going to be sucked dry of blood, and you're going to have these oozing sores on your body because of bed bugs. It's, you may accidentally take one from your hotel and bring it home with you. And that's what we're trying to prevent here.
Or the mode of transport. And that's why all the way back home, I'm going to be aware of that. And when I get home, I have my own little thing that I do too. And it is super annoying. I understand that. You guys can all make fun of me, but I just don't want bed bugs in my house.
Are you willing to share your silly little routine, or?
Yeah. So I'll get home. I have like a hard surface suitcase with like a bunch of wheels. And so when I get home, I'll just keep my luggage outside in the garage. And then I will go out with like a laundry hamper and bring in the clothes that I'm going to run through the dryer. And I run everything through the dryer, high heat for like 20 minutes. And then I'll wash them. So I do like the reverse. I don't wash then dry. I like dry, because sometimes I'll wash and hang up.
And the heat from the dryer is what kills them.
Right. So the dry heat, and it kills all life stages. And I own a dryer, so I'm going to use that. All my other things, like toiletries, I mean, all the stuff that's like the liquid stuff that's in that quart size bag, I like look at it, and usually it's in the bathroom. So I would see a bed bug if it crawled in there, and it would have to be a pretty adult sized, really mobile bed bug to walk all the way around the hotel room to get into the bathroom, into my bag. So most of that stuff I inspect and then I put away, but I never, 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 never put my bags that were in the hotel in my bedroom.
Okay.
Because the worst thing you can do is put a luggage that has like a bed bug on it or eggs laid on it and stick it right under your bed. Cause you're basically like, I mean, if bed bugs were human, like their dream, like I just went from one harborage where I like digest and can and know where to get a food source to a new place that there's food source here. And pretty much like that's what they need. They need like humans. They need us to survive. I mean, that's just perfect for them. They'll just come out, feed when they need to, and go back under the bed. So I might find a bed bug walking around my house. And to me, that's actually a pretty good scenario. So if I have my bag stored in the basement or somewhere else on a shelf in the garage, and I see a bed bug in the garage or the basement, I'm like, oh, okay. Scoop that up, collect that, or squish it. But that is one bed bug that is not around my bed.
some tips and tricks from Dr. Jody Green. I think that as we're kind of rounding things out here, the take-home message is don't avoid Paris. This could happen in any city
or
town.
I'll go to Paris for you.
Yeah. Yeah, there we go. I'd love to podcast from Paris. Talk to some of them about the bed bugs there. I think that you should have been considering this before all this came out. Like, this is something that's been happening for decades. We have this resurgence of bed bugs. So we should all be taking these precautions to help keep our home bed bug free.
Everyone can get bed bugs. You're not immune to them. We're not resistant to getting them. And they may bite you, but we really don't want to bring them home because that is something that you don't want to deal with. The question I also got on the news was, is there anything beneficial about bed bugs?
Oh, yes. What is their purpose? What was your answer?
I said, unfortunately, when it comes to the relationship between humans and bed bugs, there's not.
Right. Roaches eat them, right?
I don't know. Maybe. And spiders?
I'm not sure.
Mast hunters.
There we go.
I don't know.
That's always a very difficult question to answer. We're not going to answer that one here today.
I think in our show notes, though, we can put some resources for people. I know I got some from the University of Nebraska-Lincoln. Got some infographics that actually we made together when you were at UNL. And we also have some webinars. Kate and I did like a bed bugs for homeowners and then a bed bugs webinar for businesses or places like healthcare or schools. And so those may be handy as well. We just want our listeners to know that there are resources for education to help you prevent bed bugs wherever you're traveling. Don't believe everything that you see on TikTok and your social media channels.
That's always good advice. But you can believe almost everything that you hear on Arthropod. You can find us on the web. We're arthro-pod.blogspot.com. We're also on Twitter as a show, arthro_podshow. I'm on Twitter at BugmanJohn.
I'm at Jody Bugsme, UNL.
We hope you've enjoyed this topic here today. Be safe out there. Be self-conscious. Make sure that you use common sense. We just have to be conscientious of this and take some proactive steps to keep them out of our home.
And if you get to go to Paris, have a wonderful time. If you're going to the Summer Olympics, have fun. Just be smart about what happens when you come back. Have a baguette for me.
With that, au revoir.
It's time for our insect heroes to put away their nets and pheromone traps. Join us next time, same bug time, same bug channel, as the Arthropod gang make the world safe from poor insect podcasts. Until then,
keep on bugging.